I'm Ryan Muncy, and these are the Better Human Project Takeaways. If this is your first time listening to a takeaway episode, what we're doing here is chunking down the essentials from our long form interviews into a very short, succinct podcast episode for people who are either too busy or, like me, you have ADD and you're just not going to listen to the full hour long episode. Anytime you catch one of these takeaway episodes, we will always have a link to the full interview in the description. So if something in here piques your curiosity, or if you decide, hey, now I realize I do want to listen to the whole episode, go down in the description, click the link, listen to the full interview. But what we're doing here is we are pulling out and distilling the biggest takeaways from these amazing conversations that we have. In today's takeaway, we are looking at four. Usually we have three. Today we have four takeaways from BHP number 108 with Hassan Kamel. Hassan is a developer of leaders and organizations. The overall conversation focused on understanding people, our behavioral tendencies, and how emotional intelligence can help us be better leaders of ourselves and ultimately lead to better teams and organizations. So takeaway number one was counterbalance. Don't tone it down. And this is specifically in regards to some of the emotional intelligence assessments that Hassan and his team do. If you're not familiar with emotional intelligence, this is the EQI 2.0. We're looking at 16 different behavioral tendencies that we all lean into to different or varying extents. And the ones that we lean into the most tend to be our most dominant personality traits. A lot of times the advice when we understand or when we realize those things, the advice might be to tone down your assertiveness, tone down your self-regard, tone down your empathy, whatever those strengths are, right? Or and maybe not in strengths, but the way that it's phrased in EQI is a behavior that we tend to lean into more often, right? And so rather than toning it down, in the full interview, we'll talk about exactly why that's not a good idea, why it's actually not possible. But we don't want to tone down our strengths. What we want to do is we want to look at the opposite end of the spectrum. So for example, if we tend to be extremely flexible, meaning that we compromise a lot, we may not lean into emotional expression enough. We may not speak our truth, right? We may be too willing to be a doormat, or we may be too willing to compromise and get along to go along, or go along to get along. And that can lead to being a doormat because we don't express our beliefs, our thoughts, right? So that self-expression is the opposite end of the spectrum for flexibility. So rather than toning down our flexibility, we would want to counterbalance by bringing up our expression of our own opinions or emotional states or needs, right? So we don't want to hide from our strengths. We don't want to tone them down. We want to balance them out by bringing up the opposite end of that spectrum, okay? Second big takeaway is understanding that there are three levels of empathy. Again, this is all covered in the major episode or the full interview. Hassan does a great job of explaining what these three are and how we can develop each one. Basically, the three levels of empathy are cognitive, emotional, and compassionate. Okay. Cognitive empathy means that we truly understand what the other person is feeling. Okay. Emotional empathy means not only do we understand it, but we can share their feelings. Maybe we've experienced that loss before. We've experienced the frustration before. We know what they're going through. And the third level, compassionate, not only do we understand, not only do we feel that or know what that feels like, but we're moved to help or otherwise get involved. One of the most common manifestations of compassionate empathy would be the cultural norm to cook a meal for someone who is grieving so that they don't have to worry about cooking, right? So, you know, we understand that what it feels like to go through loss, and rather than just say, hey, I'm sorry, we're actually going to do something to try to ease their suffering, right? Maybe not the best example, maybe not the best manifestation of it, but it is definitely one of the most common. One other thing that I found really interesting from that conversation was Hassan talks about the difference between empathy and sympathy. And if we look at the root word of sympathy, it means same path. Empathy can become sympathy when we take compassionate empathy too far and actually step into their feelings or their pain. And it's important to understand that, you know, there's kind of a Goldilocks zone, right? Too little is not great. Too much is also not great. So, you know, we want to be able to have empathy. We want to be able to console and to help, but it's not always in anyone's best interest, or there are times when it's not in people's best interest for us to step into that and be on the same path, right? So that's what sympathy means. Okay, third takeaway, drivers and drainers. We all have things that energize us and things that drain us. Bringing an awareness to how things impact our energy is the first step in doing something with this information, right? Step two is doing more of the former, less of the latter, right? So that means we want to do more of the things that energize us, that drive us, and less of the things that drain us. It's important to understand that, you know, when possible, we want to delegate or outsource those things that drain our energy. We have to realize that this might not always be possible, but the goal is to work towards being able to do less and less of those things that drain us, right? So think about this on a big picture, on a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan. How can I start to delegate and outsource those things that drain me? And then the final one is being tool agnostic. So think of this as Maslow's hammer. It is probably the most common way that this is talked about in behavioral or psychological scientific circles. Right? So the law of the instrument, otherwise known as Maslow's hammer, is a cognitive bias that involves an over-reliance on a familiar tool, right? That's the real nerdy, heady way of describing that. Another way of looking at that is the quote that is attributed to Maslow, sometimes Buddha, sometimes Mark Twain. Basically, no one knows where this originated, but the quote is, "To a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail." Right? So anytime we get on this topic of tools in the toolbox, I like to use the analogy of a master carpenter. This master not only possesses all of the tools, but more importantly knows how and when to use each tool to drive and derive at the ideal results. I think we all know that we could build a perfectly functional house with nothing but a hammer and nails. But imagine the house that we could build if we knew how and when to use every single tool in the carpenter's toolbox, right? You could build something that would be, you know, on the DIY or HGTV channel or on the cover of Southern Living, you know, one of those houses that, you know, goes viral on Instagram because it looks amazing, right? There's no way we could build that type of house with just a hammer and a nail. So Hassan's suggestion to be tool agnostic is a call for us to remember that our true commitment is to the result, not the specific tool that is used to deliver the result. Right. Those are our four takeaways from the conversation with Hassan. Like I said at the top of this thing, the link to the full interview with Hassan is in the description. I would highly encourage you to go check that episode out. And as always, thank you for being a part of the Better Human Project. If something in this episode jumps out at you, if you feel like that there's somebody in your life who you know would benefit from hearing this, don't hesitate to share it with them. That's how we get this information out and help more people. Thanks for being here. We'll catch you on the next episode.